Welcome to episode 355 of the Countdown Podcast. This week, we're talking about the best around. My name is Wayne.
Don't even have the thing up on the soundboard.
I was wondering whether to tip you off on it before, so I'll just see what happens. But no, it's okay.
My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness, so you don't have to. And today, as Wayne has once again adroitly alluded, this is the best films of 2021, according to us.
According to us.
Right? The top 10 films of 2021, according to Wayne and Paul.
Some may disagree.
Yeah, in fact,
many will.
I am sure. But we decided to add a little element this year. Yeah. Which is to have our listeners who are on the ball in the last 36 hours give us their top 10s and then have their top 10, which has been weighted, and I'll talk about that in a moment.
Paul will do some number shit.
Yeah, the number shit. Their top 10 films of the year to go against us. So it's not just us two, but but the listeners as well.
Comparing against the common hive mind.
Yeah, well, common. I know that's the right word. But
20 people.
A broader proportion, 22 people got back to us with their top 10. About 26 or 27 got back, but a bunch of people didn't give me the top 10. That was a clear stipulation. I needed 10 films.
Fair enough. Or did Otherwise, not. You throw out the numbers and Paul gets pissed.
That's right. Not going to do that. So these are our favorite films, not the, trying to argue, the objectively best films.
No, but it'll be fun to talk about.
Yeah. Well, it's just, this is the light. Last week we had The Dark.
That's
Last
right.
week we had The Piece of Shit. It's the worst films of the year list episode. Always downloads well, and it's done very, very well in the last week. So if you are back listening to this one, having joined the podcast last week, welcome. It's great to have you here. If you just come for a first time listen this time around too, also welcome. It's great to have
Thank
you.
Thank you very much.
And to the returning listeners, well, you know what to expect.
Exactly.
That's all. It just, the film had to come out in 2021. It had to be by Australian release date, according to our lists. Otherwise, it's carte blanche. Have at it. Nothing else you need to know. It's pretty straightforward, right?
There it is.
Let's get into then the segment to kick off every episode. It's called The Recount.
Who wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Who
wants a recount?
Okay, Paulie, what happened this week?
Well, this week, a couple of things. First of all, a review, which I neglected from about a month or so ago. An essential listen on iTunes, 5 stars. This podcast was recommended by a friend and it doesn't disappoint. Excellent banter between Wayne and Paul. Like that, yeah. Great listen, a lot of humor. Give it a shot. And that comes from Screen Time Junkie via Apple Podcasts. Thank you very much, sir, madam, or in between. And then I want to have a big shout out to Uganda. And I think the one or maybe two listeners that we have there.
We have people in Uganda?
We were the number one film review podcast in Uganda. Currently, as of time recording, we are like number 7 on their lists in film and TV overall. We're like 6 episodes in the top 30 of most episodes downloaded at the moment. And I firmly believe, based on the numbers which I've glanced at, that there is one or two people listening to us.
In Uganda.
In Uganda. Africa.
Fantastic. Nice work. Well, hello there, listeners in in Uganda.
At max, I would think. But thank you.
We love that you're here.
Giving us a shot if you're in that particular country. Or maybe it's just the bot that sort of makes it download from there.
If it is a real person, write in and tell us what you're up to.
If you are the Ugandan listener, we'd love to hear from you.
That's right. Nice one.
That's it. That's the recount.
Excellent.
Because we just need to get into this. It's going to be a big episode.
Boom.
Great films. The top 10 films of 2021 up after this music cue.
Lovely.
Is the subject of this week's countdown. Okay. I thought a good reverb echo was appropriate for this
Not
particular
Not to mention the falsetto.
Topic. That's just for free. All right, Wayne. Shall we start with the listeners?
Yeah.
All right. So I asked everyone in the Facebook community if they wanted to contribute their top 10 films. As mentioned, 22 people got back.
Is that going to spoil our choices though?
Well, you know.
Maybe we do our two, then theirs.
Well, it still could spoil higher. We don't have to say low. We're just going to talk about it generally. Okay, so number 10 on the listeners list. And this came in of the 22 on 6 lists. And I scored this inversely, as we often do.
Sure.
Came in at number 10, you get 1 point.
Yep.
Coming in at number 1, you get 10 points. Okay. So on 6 lists with a score of 30, number 10 is A Quiet Place Part 2.
Oh. Okay. The collective people say that. I that's good.
Yeah, I enjoy this film.
Yep,
it's
definitely on your list.
It is on my list.
It's on mine too. So word to
that. I'll buy that list.
Yep.
We'll discuss it when it gets to us.
When it gets to us, exactly.
All right, then Wayne, take us through your number 10.
Okay, my number 10 is Free Guy. Fuck it.
Oh,
I love Free Guy, man. Fuck everyone. All right. A lot of people want to rag on this film. Kiss my ass. Guess what? I saw it this morning, motherfucker.
What?
I was like, you know what? What is that film? And I started clicking through it, and I wasn't clicking through it that much. I was sitting there going, "This is a good ass film, yo." Yeah, I love me some Free Guy. Ryan Reynolds plays Guy. He's an NPC in a movie, like a movie extra in a game for an online multiplayer game, which is kind of like GTA Online. And of course, he starts breaking his programming or something. He starts thinking for himself, becomes like a character in this, and sees all of what everyone else sees. It's very, very
cool.
Wow. Dude, the movie itself is already fun. The action scene's excellent. This is well shot, this film. I dare you to just have another look
at it. Sean Levy.
Who did he do? What did he do?
A Night at the Museum, whatever that series is called.
Okay. No idea what that was like, but this is the tits. Towards the end.
Really average.
It's just a thing, because Paul doesn't like it when Disney uses, like, I love the fact that Disney can use lightsabers and motherfucking every kind of shit, Marvel stuff, all in here, because it's a family now. And it adds to the film. The little fucking Captain America cameo, all those things at the end were perfect. I was entertained the entire time. The entire time. You didn't love it at least?
I hated Taika Waititi's bad guy in this film. Just thought it was so ridiculous.
Yeah, but you know,
I thought the real world bullshit between Jodie Comer and the kid from Stranger Things was shit.
I didn't mind that at all. I thought it was quite a nice little romance thing. Yeah. It's like,
In the game thing worked much, much better as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, that's what it's about, really. But I was fine with them putting things outside, because you got to relate to it. Otherwise, it can't all be all in game. Yeah, no.
Let's just destroy this by touching the server up with an axe. Yay!
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Still way more believable than Scream.
I disagree.
Oh, please. All right.
All right. Well, the listeners, by the way, had that around about number 33.
Oh, that's good.
11 votes and 3 lists it made.
See, Mariah Carey, you put it in a film, it should go higher up.
Not that that's a joke reference to her song title.
Well, she was in one of her songs, Fantasy, was in the movie.
All right.
Yeah.
My number 10 is a film which no one will have seen.
There's a shock.
I watched this one during the week, and it is such a... I debated. Do I put it on here? Do I save it? It will be my number 1 film in the next top 10, last 10 we do, no doubt. So in the end, I decided to give it the credit where it's due, because it can't and won't qualify for 2022 Best of the Year.
All right.
So it sneaks on here at number 10.
Mm.
It's called One Shot. It is a direct-to-video action film directed by no-name James Nunn, who has only directed sequels to The Marine, which I think originally starred John Cena. It's a direct-to-video film franchise. This one stars Scott Adkins, who is actually a very good martial artist. He's a white guy who's been in lots and lots of martial arts
films. I definitely know that name.
Ryan Philippe.
Oh, well, okay. Wait, I've seen a poster for this thing.
Yeah, and what's the name from the Twilight films? Ashley Green.
Okay.
Right, they're the only sort of name people that are in this film. And I put this on, no lie, on my iPad.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're giving a straight to video to on your list of top 10 or 21.
I'm about to tell you why, and you'll understand entirely.
All right, let's go. I can't wait.
I put this on my iPad. Like, you know, whatever, this is going to be shit. I'm watching it in the background.
Yep.
And so I watch it, and it starts off in this helicopter. It basically follows an elite squad of Navy SEALs on a covert mission to transport a prisoner off a CIA black site to get back to the States where he's going to be interrogated.
Black site sounds so cool. What does it mean?
It's like an off-the-books prison, prison camp.
Okay, got it.
Right, in the middle of, I think it's sort of outback Poland.
That's
where they're going, right?
Sure, sure.
And it follows the main characters, so not Ryan Phillippe because he's the boss of the camp, but Scott Adkins and these three other Navy SEALs. Ashley Green's a CIA operative.
Yep.
And so she's the one that's sort of running the op.
Well, she has to be hot.
She's an attractive woman.
Yeah, no, you've got to have a hot CIA operative.
And basically, I'm like watching them. Oh, they haven't cut yet. So they're in the helicopter.
Oh.
The helicopter lands. They get out of the helicopter altogether, and it follows them in.
Really?
At which point, I start scrambling for my phone. Is One Shot a one-shot film? Yes.
Oh, my God, the whole thing's one shot.
The whole film is one shot.
Oh, meta! Now, it's called One Shot, and it's one shot.
Now.
All right, let's hear it.
Unlike, say, Birdman, where it's very obvious when we have a cut, it goes into a wall or into someone's back or whatever else.
It's dark, yeah.
I honestly, for the first 35 minutes of this film, I struggled to see where a cut was.
Really?
And we have a gunfight in that first 35 minutes, and the camera positioning, this is second to none. This is not 1917 because the budget is probably 1/10.
I was just going to say, it's so much harder to do this if you don't have money.
Probably 1/20th of 1917, but it is, on that scale, absolutely comparable. This film is phenomenal for a direct-to-video film. It's dumb as fuck. The plot's simple as, you only get barest of little characterizations. Who cares? It's all about the execution. And we know how much you and I love a one-shot. This film is arguably one of the best one-shot films ever made.
Since you just told me it's a one-shot movie and it's called One Shot, great, right? Now I'm so interested in it. And you're like, yeah, it's a shit. It's a, you know, it's a standard.
I just want to drop down for you. I'm fucking watch it.
Yeah.
For others who don't get bone up over over that kind of technical side, you're probably not going to love it that much. And I must admit, the last 3 or 4 minutes dropped at a half a star. This is going to be a 4-star film. This might have ended up in my top five.
Holy shit!
Until the last 5 minutes, not because it's bad ending, just because it kind of wimps out.
You wimps out, yeah.
But okay. Scott Adkins, like, he's required. Because again, there's no cutting.
That's the big problem.
Right? So when there's an action scene or a fight scene, it's all bang, 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 bang. And this guy's moving really impressively. There's one particular scene which takes place from inside the perspective of a jail cell. I'm like, holy shit, this guy can really fight.
Yeah? Fuck, I want to see it now. It's
but
like,
mostly it's gunplay, but occasionally it resorts to knife fights or
dude,
whatever else.
If you're shooting like that, right? First of all, if you've got lots of money like 1917, you can just say, this one shot is going to take a month. Right? Yep. And you can have all the people there all the time. If you're the guy doing martial arts, and it's hard enough to block, you know, when you've got a million takes you can do. If you can't fuck it up because then you've got to go all the way back to the beginning, that makes it even worse and you're on a budget.
Very clever.
This is quite the achievement. Yeah. I'll see it just for that, bro.
Absolutely. You need to see it. I give a qualified recommendation. If you like action films, if you like that technical side of it, absolutely see this movie.
Sweet. One shot.
One shot? Pretty excellent. Easy to remember that name.
Brilliant. Nice work. All right. Okay.
Well, the listeners now. Before we jump in, number 9, after we had A Quiet Place Part 2, is Bo Burnham Inside.
Wow, that's popular.
Yeah, so this one had...
But not with you.
I couldn't even finish it. This one had 31 votes, or 31 score, on 4 lists it made. I think a lot of people didn't count it because it's not really a film. Like, it's a special, isn't it? But I just counted it as it was.
You could definitely count it.
I didn't edit things out like that. I just went, okay, if you've decided to put on your list, it's here on this list.
Yep. I called it a film.
31 of 4 votes means that I think 2 or 3 people had it as a number 1.
Mm.
2 people had number 1 and a couple people had it second or third. Very, very highly scoring. There we are. Bo Burnham Inside, the special, of course, about sort of being stuck inside during lockdown.
I know it's not on your list, not on mine either. But White Woman's Instagram is still an excellent song though.
Fair enough.
There you go.
All right, you're on number 9, sir.
Okay, I'm going to go with Boss Level on my number 9.
Low.
I thought it'd be on your list, man.
I'm glad it's there.
I almost didn't make it, and I've got an interesting honorable mentions list. But I was looking at it and going, you know what? The reason it's here is because I had such a good time in it, and I remember the good time I had in this film. Everyone, the film follows Roy, a retired special forces person who's Frank Grillo. He wakes up in bed with a woman, and immediately some dude tries to kill him with a machete. Then he fights the dude. He gets shot at by another motherfucking helicopter outside his window. Gets chased through the streets. All kinds of shit.
But all this shit is in the opening scene. His voiceover basically explaining.
Yes.
And he's looking bored. Like he's, you know, knife swings at his face. He just sort of rocks back, has a sip of his coffee. Then,
exactly.
Like, because he's done this so many times before.
Exactly. And that's why it's cool until one of the, you know, and basically he dies. And over again, he wakes up, same bed, same people trying to kill him. It's been going on 100 times, and we learn that Roy is for some reason in a time loop, and he has no idea why. And the movie goes on from there. You got your Frank Grillo, who I fucking decided I like, as long as he's got a little bit of a budget to his film.
Likewise, I like Frank Grillo. I think he's got the best hair ever.
He really has great hair. Yeah. That I hope that's not on your list, Cop Shop.
It's not on my list, but I like that movie.
I didn't love it.
I think
it's not on this list, but it's a good movie. It's a good movie.
And it just dropped on Netflix. I saw it yesterday as I was having a look around things. And the biggest problem with Cop Shop, which is also directed by Joe Carnahan, also stars Frank Grillo, is that sidelines its main characters for way too long, stuck inside prison cells, and it shoots the other main protagonist.
And it messes with the flow. Exactly.
Yep. Can we just get on with it? We want to see these three going at it. And when they finally do, it's great. Mm. But it just spends 20, 30 minutes fucking spinning its wheels.
Sort of, not high concept, but yeah, I know what you mean. They're trying something with that. But this one, absolutely, Boss Level. I loved all the action in it.
The humor's on point.
The humor's on point.
The action's wonderful.
I am Gan Yin.
Is that it? Gan Yin?
And I have done this. Yes. And I hate that fucking woman as well. So you everyone that you're supposed to hate, you hate. Mel Gibson doing a great little turn, you know?
He didn't have a lot to do.
He didn't have a lot to do, but I like that Mel Gibson's in it. Made me watch it, you know what I'm saying?
Like, this was the biggest surprise probably of the year for me, other than One Shot, which was huge. Well, but
I don't know. I gave this a solid 7.5 out of 10.
I went up to 80.
80.
Yeah.
Yes,
this film is fantastic. It's way higher on my list. We'll find out how high. It's also higher on the listener list. It comes in at number 8. May as well reveal now. Same number of votes as Bo Burnham Inside, but 6 lists it made it onto. So that gave it the qualifier to move up
Boss
to number
level.
8. Yeah.
Nice one. So all right.
Other people also enjoying Joe Carnahan and Frank Grillo teaming up.
Very nice.
My number nine, here we get controversial.
Oh, okay, good. Here we go.
Now. There's a few people who got really, really hurt by my thoughts on this film. But I stood by it. I said it then. I rewatched it yesterday with the family, again at the cinema for the second time. Spider-Man, yeah. Colin, No Way Home is my number nine best film of 2021.
Hello. Yes, yep. Okay. Of course it's on my list.
Oh, of course. It's a good film. It's fun. It's by far the best film in Phase 4 of MCU.
Mm, sure.
I think it brings to a close the Spider-Man arc that was created in Homecoming and, you know, peppers through, obviously, the Avengers films as well.
Completely.
Tom Holland is fantastic. He is a phenomenal actor, I think, for the role.
Yeah.
Nails it. I really like him and MJ, Zendaya together. There's more for Ned to do here. I like the chances they took with this film. I'm being vague for spoilers because it hasn't been out for long.
Yep.
Very respectful to people who have yet to have a chance to see it or couldn't because of COVID and whatever else. So I'm going to stay vague. I still do have, despite people defending it to the fucking nth degree, I still have issues with the way the end plays out.
Absolutely.
And what that actually means. But I'm thinking about it too hard. I fully acknowledge it's a good movie. I like it a lot. Number nine, best film of the year for me.
Good call. I actually disagree that you're thinking about it too hard. I think that a movie, here's the deal, right? If a movie is going to give you an unlikely premise or something that doesn't make sense, it has to make up for that by being so entertaining you don't care.
Right.
Okay? And I think this movie did that. I've decided that the movie has done that. Sure. It took a little bit, you know, it was so nice, so good. You know, I'll just say this. Any reveals that may happen in the film, all right, I was not prior aware from. If you have the internet, you know what I'm talking about because it's been spoiled for you already. But
yeah, it's probably. But again, I want to really, protect the people who may have managed to avoid everything. And I did. As I talked about during our review, I didn't. This is the first big film I never even watched one trailer for.
Which was a good call. Mm-hmm. And I will say this, that if you should be one of the lucky, or if you will be one of the lucky ones who actually don't have it spoiled for you and you see it, that reveal is one of the best films in cinematic history, if you ask me.
All right? Best moments?
No, the biggest reveal. Just the most holy shit reveal ever, right?
Currently sits as the eighth biggest box office film of all time.
During COVID.
In a pandemic. Yeah, exactly. It's astounding.
That is a fucking juggernaut.
I think it's past $1.3 or even maybe it's climbed up to $1.5 billion.
So people rushed out to see this one. Well, everyone loves Spidey, man.
Gave it another gold class set for myself, my wife, and my daughter. See. So.
No wonder Sony says over my cold dead ass.
Yeah.
You're not having
fucking Spider-Man.
It's worth so much.
I think I said it. Spider-Man, I think, is the most popular superhero in the world.
Well, it's the one that broke the mold with the fucking, you know, Sam Raimi ones. Mm-hmm. And you could argue is the one, everyone says Blade, this, that, whatever. But Spider-Man was Spider-Man.
Yeah, but Blade has generated two sequels, the second of which was such a piece of shit we haven't seen any more Blade. We're about to.
Yeah.
But we still haven't, other than hear his voice. So. Yeah. Spider-Man is
shit. No, it's Spider-Man. It's Spider-Man. Absolutely.
Even the terrible films in that Spider-Man is in makes money. I.e. Amazing Spider-Man 2.
I'm looking forward to seeing this one again. Was it good the second time?
Look, it flew by.
You know, I'll tell you something about this, though. You were saying that the people were revolting regarding your review on Spider-Man.
Not revolting. They've got up in arms a little bit.
No, up in arms. You know what it actually was? No one's really got a problem with what you did with Spider-Man. They got a problem with Hawkeye. And then when Spider-Man came along again, they're like, yo, this guy is like Marvel, man. That's what happened. I'm telling you. And that's completely sound because Hawkeye was fantastic.
No, there was comments about, then people say, like, you should hear his views on Hawkeye.
Yeah, see, I think it's a collective kind of dissent.
I have to say, it was a very different viewing experience in a gold class cinema with predominantly children the second time around.
Oh, yeah.
None of the laughter. Yeah. None.
And we got cheering in ours when the big things happened.
We had laughter throughout. You missed lines of dialogue. There was a few knowing chuckles, including from my wife.
Yeah.
But the kids don't get the meta references and whatever else.
No, they don't. So it was full of kids.
Yeah.
Fuck. Was it noisy? Was it okay?
No. Everyone was very well behaved. Okay. Great screening. Good food. Loved it. That's, you know.
Fantastic.
Good stuff. But it was just, as opposed to going to premiere where everyone there
is
either in the know or loves Spider-Man. Yeah, very different.
Yeah, I had a great experience. All right, cool. Nice one.
All right. Well, I've already mentioned the number eight for the listeners, and that was Boss Level. So, Wayne, back to you.
Okay, my number eight was The Suicide Squad.
No!
Yeah, I thought you'd think this.
I can't even make it into a song because I can't remember a song from the fucking film. Whoa!
Good to hear. Okay, everyone. So, The Suicide Squad, which Paul clearly liked, and I obviously liked not as much. All right?
Because Negatron Wayne 2022.
No, because Paul is Paul.
What? makes no sense.
You have your own shit that you think is high, but I don't agree. So, all right. So, everyone, James Gunn did this film, and I think we did a huge review on most of these films. But the thing that was cool about it was the surprise in the first act, where he just pretty much I'll just say now, everything that was bad about the first Suicide Squad, as in this character is stupid. He just killed that motherfucker. he just like, fuck it, you're right, they're stupid, blam, off it goes. And I'm like, wow. And you didn't even know. You're like, oh, shit. And then you're like, what's going to happen now? Because, you know, and then the whole story. But the sadistic nature of James Gunn's humor is what makes it its own thing. Like, it's very gory, but it is played for laughs.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I find myself going, I don't know whether I'm laughing, but I am laughing.
Or else I'm like, blah!
Paul just pisses himself, right? And that's why, even like the guy whose arms detach, you know, like that whole TDK. Thing was just like, what did you think would happen? And he's doing it and he's pulling it off.
But the implication of that is he's had success with this plan before.
I know! Slapping motherfuckers around from afar, like what? And so that was cool. I mean, it was so much better than the first Suicide Squad. And
oh, it's not comparable.
It's not even comparable. Even like the big sort of, you know, the big bad at the end, shall we say.
I love that shit.
That, yeah, it was executed in a way where I'm like, no, that's
King
fine.
Shark, fucking... This film, I King might as well giant, chime
yeah,
in now.
Yeah, chime in, just talk about it.
This film is, and I think I said it in our review,
yeah.
And a lot of these films you can go back and listen to our individual reviews of them if you are so inclined. This film was made for me.
Yeah.
This film's humor is me to a T. This, to me, is the funniest film of the year.
Oh,
most people wouldn't agree
yeah,
with that.
Yeah, Paul would think that.
But
absolutely.
For me, I was laughing. So even the opening fucking scene with Michael Rooker in the cell and he's throwing the fucking ball around.
Yeah.
He kills the bird. And then by the end of the opening sequence, that bird, at least the species, has got its revenge.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking gold.
Yeah. It's fun.
Gold. I just, that everyone must die. That fucking, I could, that's what I could have done. This choice is low. But no one would have got it. So.
No, they wouldn't have.
The whole opening is awesome. It gets a little bit bogged down in the middle, which is the only knock on the film. But otherwise, I've seen this film twice. I own it on 4K. I'm looking forward to watching it again. It's fantastic. There are so many funny sequences. We've got the Peacemaker TV show, which is just kicking off now. I've had a couple of people asking, we'll be reviewing that. Why not?
Well, I like me some Cena. I haven't seen a frame of it, but whatever. You know?
No, but I've heard good things mostly from the first three episodes, which were available for people who got screeners and that kind of stuff.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah, I'm all in on this James Gunn version of the DC Universe. More of that, please. I don't think this made enough money. That's my big worry.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
See, if it's spawning a TV show, though, that does it as well, a deal would have been made. I don't know. I was just happy that, like, the suckering that the marketing did as well was very, very
good. Very clever.
Because that Weasel character,
yeah.
I looked at it in the trailer, and I'm like, I can't watch that fucking thing, right? And then you don't have to. So...
This film's been out for long enough. If you're interested, yeah. You should have seen it by now. What a fantastic film. Gory as fuck. Great characters. Very funny. What more could you ask for? Suicide Squad, fantastic film. Glad it's on the list at least.
Yeah. Is he doing, he's doing Guardians 3 or whatever,
yes,
right?
Yes, I believe he's onto that now.
Okay, good. Looking forward to that one too.
Yeah,
James Gunn's
absolutely. We will do a best of, don't know if that one's out 2022 or 2023, but we will do a most anticipated films 2022 list very soon.
Most def. Mm. All right.
All right, cool. So that is your 8, my number 8. This one also might cop a bit of flack, but I don't reckon it's going to be on the list, so you'll get more flack than me.
All right.
My number 8 is June.
Yeah, it's not on my list.
Yep.
And, but it's very popular around the traps, around the literati.
I tried to read Frank Herbert's Dune when I was too young. I think it's just too heady, too complex for my 15, 16-year-old brain when I picked it up.
I can only imagine.
And at the moment, I'm just not into reading virtually at all. I read literally two books last year, and I started one of 10 pages of it.
I want Audible to be one of our sponsors because I use that like a motherfucker.
Right. I just watch everything for the show. Like, all my time goes into watching TV or film. I just don't have time to read as well. But I had zero expectations of this movie because I thought, oh, Denis Villeneuve.
Well, I also had told you that it was ass.
Yes, you also saw it before me and you were like, oh my God, it's so boring. So I had my expectations were
and that happens every single time.
The
people.
Floor on that basis. So, but I ponied it up. I went and saw it on the biggest screen I could in gold class and I was blown the fuck away.
See, that is it.
June for me, which is the first of my four, everything here is 4 stars except for my number 1, which is 4.5 stars. June for me was very, very visually arresting. Like, I can't recall a time my jaw has dropped with visual shots, not seeing the seams of the stitching of the CG.
Yeah.
It was so good on the big screen. Like, you know, some things don't translate. You watch on the little screen, and think, oh, it looks really good.
This is clearly one of those.
See on the big screen, you're like, oh, that looks like crap. But vice versa, you know, if you can work on both screens, amazing. I thought it set up the world really well. I know lots and lots of people didn't like the fact it basically ends in the middle or two-thirds of the way through book one, and therefore it kind of just has an ending. It doesn't have a resolution, except it kind of, in my mind, it was fine where it ended.
You know, Paul, I thought it stopped dead.
Well, whereas Paul, for me, has he's moved on, and I don't want to give away too many spoilers in case people haven't read a book that's 50 fucking years old. But
or seen a movie that's,
Paul or seen the David Lynch version in the 80s and whatever else, but Paul has reached a point in his life where, okay, the next phase now begins. The next chapter is beginning. It makes sense to end it there rather than earlier or later.
Yeah.
Without having seen, although I know what's coming in some respects.
Yeah, I think this was like something I recognized this year as like you should have seen that up on the screen. Like you just should have.
That was a big mistake.
Yeah.
28 inches just doesn't do it.
So I keep hearing. In my dreams.
If you could see the video recording of this, which we're not doing, you would see me smiling like, I know I'm setting you up here. Well, I knocked it out.
You know what's funny, right? So everyone, I just bought a VR unit, like a fucking Oculus Quest, right?
Right.
There's a fucking app on there where you can watch Netflix, but when you sit down and you put the headphones on, you're in a theater, right, and it's the biggest screen you've ever fucking seen. So if you look around...
Can I see that shit before we go home?
Yeah, yeah. If you look around, you see seats next to you.
Right, okay.
And you
the screen bigger in front of you?
Yeah, it's what it's...
So do you have to like turn your head?
No, it's enough so that you can look at it in one shot.
Oh, well, then it's not the same as the screen.
Unless but then if it's too big for your eyesight or eye line, so you'd have to look left and right.
Oh, I'm interested to see whether it feels bigger at that point.
I'm sure... Yeah, well, you can... It's a thing. But like, I know, it's interesting. You can do that for Amazon anything. It's like, it's one of those things. I know. So maybe that's what I'll be doing when we're locked down.
Phenomenally directed, amazing visuals, good performances, interesting characterizations. I just think Dune set things up incredibly well. I'm so pleased that Dune Part 2 is coming in a couple of years' time. So
you're not alone on this one.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks that.
It's my number 8.
Nice one.
Over to you for the listeners. Listeners number 7 then. So we've had what is a film I have not seen, so I can offer no thoughts on other than it's a Netflix darling. It was created, I believe, to be their big push this year for Oscars. It's The Power of the Dog.
Did you see it?
No.
Nor did I. Because I was looking at it, I'm like, this is about some country ass farmer shit, which I'm sure is really an oversimplification. A lot of people like this show, so it's probably great.
Right.
I just wasn't in the mood for a drama.
Score of 35 with 7 lists of the 22 it entered into there. So yeah, obviously a drama. Netflix and Swill have crowed about it as being one of the best films of the year. So
wow.
Yeah, I think this is popping up on top 10 lists all around. I'd be very surprised if there's not a big player come the Oscars.
Cumberbatch, yeah.
Yep, he's the main actor and directed by Jane Campion, who...
Oh, wow, piano person.
The piano, yep.
Wow, okay. Yeah, I'm sure it's great.
Right, okay, you're number 7.
My number 7 is Shang-Chi and the Legend of Your Mom's Snatch. This is a great fucking film, okay?
I don't even know what Paul's issue is. It's not better than the fucking Suicide Squad.
It is better than Suicide Squad. Dumb prick. It's more fun, cunt. All right? It's what is... I was looking... Let me tell you some shit about this, all right? So I was looking for a Marvel film when this thing came out.
Nick.
So the fucking film was great. It was Marvel doing a martial arts film, all right? Just like they tried to do a fucking war film with Captain America.
God, Spider-Man's horror on your list.
Oh, yeah. This was great.
You lined up there to give you shit. You're like, no, right. That's right.
Yeah. I loved it. Okay. I mean, look, everyone seems to say that the ending, the Marvel ending of the massive CGI fest is what fucked it up. I wouldn't say it fucked it
up. Everything after the last 45 minutes got fucked up.
I think you liked this movie most of the time.
Awkwafina is just awkward in the whole film. Well doesn't done, have well any done. Point to be there.
No, Awkwafina is
the comedic.
She's totally the sidekick, the comedy relief.
You're killing me, Smalls.
She's not funny enough to be fucking comedic.
Yeah, but you know, the varying levels of humor working for you or not. The actual bones of the show is good. I love the Tony Leung shit. I love the fucking love story between him and the wife and the way that was filmed. This was a beautiful looking film, man. This was more beautiful than The Eternals. How about that, motherfucker?
I disagree.
Yeah, I see. I definitely think this is better and more fun to look at than that. So I loved all that shit. And, I mean, I actually, this Simu Liu guy, right? I never even heard of him before. And I had doubts as to whether he could pull it off. But I actually thought to myself, you know what? He's charming and I believe that he could beat you up. And that's hard to do.
Well,
so
25% of the listeners agree with you, give or take, because 5 people had this on their top 10 of the year and it came in with 21 score, about 15th.
Film. That's fairly high given our little set there. So, yes, big fan. Paul was not.
No.
Paul was not.
Very disappointed.
But movie. I loved it. I've seen it twice. I'm into it.
Right. Fair enough.
There you are.
You like to can't argue with that. My number 7 is my foreign entry into the list. It is a film which stars Mads Mikkelsen, and I was totally not prepared for how much I enjoyed this movie. It's called Riders of Justice.
Great, great call. That's on my honorable mentions.
Honorable mentions, okay. It did make the list, but not in the top 10 at all, so it was quite low.
Wait a minute.
Lower down.
That was 2020.
No, no, it was out.
Aussie release was 21.
Yeah, Aussie release, yeah, cool. Exactly. So yeah, it did come out in Europe.
Okay, cool.
Before then.
That would have been on my list then.
Oh, really?
For some reason, I thought it was 2020.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, it's cool. It's cool. Yeah. It's all good.
Okay. Rise of Justice is a film which basically follows Mads Mikkelsen's character. He's a war soldier.
Soldier guy.
And he comes home after his wife is killed in a train crash.
Mm-hmm.
And his daughter thankfully survives that, so he comes back to be a single father. Then these actuaries, these sort of statistician dudes, come forward to him and say, "We calculated that there's zero chance this was an accident. This was an attack, a terrorist attack of some description."
Yeah.
And they finger the Riders of Justice, which is a motorcycle gang in Denmark. And so from there, it's Mads and his killing capabilities joining up with these
nerds/
neurodiverse people to go and take on this motorcycle gang. And it is equal parts an action film, a thriller, black comedy, and a family drama. And it nails, I think, all of them.
Dude, it is straight up, when you say black comedy, I think it's almost a comedy, man. Because this, remember, this is Nordic? What is it?
I think it's from Denmark.
Okay.
Danish film.
Okay, so it's all subtitles. And I'm laughing at the subtitles. If you go listen to our proper review of this, there's actual subtitles of them, of like the character is saying, like, "Fuck you, you cunt dick." Like, that's what he's saying. And that's what's on the screen. And I'm like, if that's really that what they're saying, this is hilarious. If it's a mistake by the fucking person doing the subtitles, still hilarious. So yes, very cool. I love that show. That's cool. That's
yeah,
cool.
Great film. Well worth a look if you've yet to see it. So really, really surprised me. So through to the listeners now, number 6.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where they had the Suicide Squad. 39 score on 9 lists. Oof. So
popular.
Earns its place here on the basis of the number of times people voted for it.
Nice one.
What's your 6, Wayne?
My number 6 is something that's going to also elicit a low from you. It's A Quiet Place Part 2.
Yes, low.
Somewhat low. Okay.
Low.
Okay. So Paul thinks it's slightly low. We have rewound to day one of the alien invasion in this film, and it follows Jay Kraz and his daughter and M. And it's the day that the town got invaded, I guess the world got invaded.
Yep.
And it starts in just, I think it's really the opening bit that will always stay with me because of the shot inside the car and the way it was filmed and all the stuff like that. There's actually an interesting breakdown video online of John Krasinski breaking down that scene, saying how he shot it and he's drawing on it and shit like that. It's really cool. And I think even after that, the flashback goes into present day, it still maintained like the kind of interest and the engagement, and I loved it, man. And again, this is a horror movie. This is my kind of horror movie.
Yeah, I'm really pleased that there is basically, I think, in almost every year of the countdown, there's been a horror film. Despite you saying repeatedly, "I'm not a horror guy. I fucking hate horror. Horror is shit. Shit, I can say fucking shit on it."
This one is great, though. I mean, look, I still don't prefer it, but yeah,
I think one always cracks your top 10. There's it 1 year, and I think the first Quiet Place, the year that's it came
right.
out.
That's right.
And that Quiet Place Part 2. So I like the fact that you can see through the horror to stellar filmmaking.
Exactly. And this is definitely that. This is definitely, like, he's a director to watch now.
Our mate Gerald from 2Ps on a podcast, G-Banger.
G-Banger.
From the X-2Ps on a podcast, that show is now finished, says this is a better film than the first one. I don't agree with that. I don't go that far. But I think this is an excellent edge of your seat, I know, cliche horror film where there are so many great set pieces where you really are like, finding your breath held or just a little bit.
Dude, that little girl is fucking awesome.
It's fantastic film as, the deaf girl who is having to survive in a world where sound is death.
Yes, and she can't hear. So she doesn't know she's making sound.
Yep. There are so many great scenes. And this was everyone will know exactly what this fell for me. If you listen to our horror film list, where it was my number one of the year. So yeah, it's going to be high up for me.
Well, that whole thing where he swaps the sound design between her being deaf and then the actual thing.
It's a bit cliched now, but I think this is the first film. Is it cliched?
Because I don't think I've ever seen it before.
Well, I've seen multiple films, but this is the first one of these was the first film I saw it in.
So. Maybe handled. Oh yeah, so it is. It's sort of, that's new, man. That's a new convention, bro. So
but even in 3 or 4 years now, it's kind of, oh.
Is it proliferated?
Yeah, like Sound of Metal was a huge film at the start of this year, end of last year, which was Riz Ahmed was nominated for Academy Award for.
Oh, yeah.
He plays a metal drummer who goes deaf.
Oh.
And there's a big thing in that. So
after that,
everyone sort of stood up and took notice. Oh, look, it's a good film. He's a good performance, but not my kind of film, if I can put it that way.
All right, so yeah, that's it. All right. Quiet Place, part two.
Quiet Place, part two at your number six. Is that correct?
Number six.
My number six is here's my other big surprise entry, and this one surprised even me, and I only watched it 3 or 4 weeks ago. It's a documentary. It's the one documentary that makes my list. It's called The Alpinist.
Either you or someone has spoken to me about this. Tell me about The Alpinist.
The Alpinist is directed by Peter Mortimer and Nick Rosen and follows a climber named Marc-André Leclerc, who is... I think he lives in British Columbia. He's a Canadian climber.
Yep.
He just lives off the grid. Like, I loved Free Solo, right?
I was just going to say, it sounds like Free Solo.
Yeah. It's so much like Free Solo that Alex, what's his name?
Honnold.
Yeah, Honnold is in this film frequently being interviewed about...
Oh, really?
This guy basically saying... Of course, Alex's ego will never let him say this, but he's basically suggesting he's even crazier than I am.
Really?
Even crazier than I am. So alpinism is... when you don't just fucking climb free solo without ropes and whatever attached.
What? Yeah.
It's when you're also happy to climb up shit like ice and snow and whatever.
Unpredictable.
Yeah. Because you don't know when you put your hand into something whether it's going to hold you or fucking not.
Holy shit.
So it's the next level again.
That is the next level
again. And there's some stat in there which basically says like anyone who's a professional slash makes their living doing this, the survival rate's like 60%.
Not good.
Yeah.
Not great. Not great at
People
all.
People die all the time. And this film has some of the same vertigo-inducing cinematography that Free Solo has.
So drones and shit, yeah?
Yep. And like they have to convince him to take up a... He eventually, the whole film sort of centers around him trying to climb this peak that no one has climbed ever.
Wow.
In, I can't remember if it was Argentina or somewhere like that. And you know, he has to wait around for the perfect weather conditions so he makes friends with the locals and shit like that. So he's a nice bloke, but he's just such a fucking hippie, as my wife was like saying. He hasn't got a job, he just lives off the grid, his girlfriend's into climbing too. So that where the film kind of falls away is Free Solo creates this wonderful dichotomy between Alex's girlfriend who wants him to sort of stop taking risks. This film's like his girlfriend's all for it, go for it.
Mm.
So you miss that kind of tension, if you will. Yeah. And I don't want to spoil it, but there are things that happen in this film which no one will predict.
Okay, I'm going to watch it.
It's amazing.
I'm going to watch it. The Alpinist.
Yep.
Let me tell you something. These folks who go off the grid on the van, right? I got to tell you something. I wouldn't do it ever, but there's a part of me which really like understands the freedom of I have my whole house because I drive it with me everywhere. I only go to nice spots. My whole day is, I get out there and I look at the creek and the ocean and maybe I climb a mountain if I'm a climber. I kind of get it. I could never do it.
No.
But I could,
He said looking around all your fucking gadgets and shit.
That's why it is. These people have a single-mindedness to them, which I will never have. You know, so that's why I say it. But anyway.
So there you are. There's it. There's your second left field recommendation. Unfortunately, I've got nothing more left field after this.
Nice, nice. Okay, well, my number five.
Hold on, listen.
Oh, please.
Listeners, number five is, this is spoilers for my list. This is coming out very shortly.
Mm.
The Father.
Yeah.
Australian release date came out after January 1st. Of course, it was nominated because the Oscars went all the way through the end of February because of COVID. Anthony Hopkins wins Best Actor. I've spoken about it. It's my number one in a top 10 last 10. This film is horrendous. It's harrowing. It's horrifying. It is exceptional.
I've been considering watching it since you told me about it, since you told us about it, and I haven't grabbed my balls enough yet.
Only scored 47. I scored 47, which is good. Only five people on the list. So when people put it on the list, they had it as their one or two without fail.
Yeah.
That is how good this movie is.
Okay, give us a quick thing about what it's about.
So it basically follows Sir Anthony Hopkins' character, who is an elderly gentleman who he's the unreliable narrator. The vast majority of the film, bar a couple of scenes, are from his perspective, and he has Alzheimer's or dementia.
Yeah, one of them.
Yep, Alzheimer's, I think it is. No, which one? No, dementia.
Some degenerative, yeah.
And his brain is basically falling to pieces and he's lapsing back into the past and he's seeing people who aren't there and his daughter, someone walks in, a stranger, and says, I'm your daughter, and it's not Olivia Colman who is established as his daughter or is she in the first scene of the film?
Interesting.
It's complete confusion all the time and the poor bastard, just watching it is, you just think, oh my God, please not me.
Yeah.
Please not me or anyone I love.
Yep.
Because that is awful.
God. Yeah, you're right. I'm still scared. Yep. Okay, I'm still scared, everyone. All right. Nice one. Nice one.
Well done to listeners. So I think that's an underappreciated film.
Yeah, totally. All right. Well, my number five, kind of a theme, a little bit doomy theme. Don't Look Up.
What?
I fucking love
this. You hinted this last week.
Dude.
Jesus.
This is the Netflix film that dropped in the, just basically.
December 24th.
24th, some of that. I checked it out because I was actually waiting for it to drop. I like me a little bit of Leo and I like me some J-Law. And this is a film about an astronomy grad student who is J-Law and her professor who is Leo. They discover a comet that's coming to destroy Earth. And
they then go and alert the White House and they meet with the president and they go, but no one gives a fuck. So it's like, obviously it's a play on climate change, I was told.
And COVID.
Now I'm reading, because I didn't even get COVID from it, right? I was actually looking. I didn't, because climate, it was more this linear thing.
We're
of
in a very good position here.
I know. And that's, and I, after.
We're going to be beating COVID within a month or so.
I know. See, this is like, only after I saw the movie did I start reading up about it. I do that all the time. And it's like.
No, that's the way to do it. Watch the movie, then read up about it.
But then people were saying, this is a COVID thing, right? I'm like, oh my God, it's so a COVID thing. It's just not one event that's going to knock us all out. It's this sort of, it's the same threat. It's just smaller and slower,
way.
I guess,
yep.
Hopefully. But the actual movie itself, the way it's played and the way, Leo's character is a family man and this and that, but he's still easily swayed by some poontang. And, you know, he's
why would you relate to that one?
Fuck off. Well, at least he's not a one-dimensional character.
You're not a family man. It's fine.
No, I'm not. Exactly. But he's not a one-dimensional character. Do you know what I mean? And J-Lo's playing this fucking, you know, ho with a dragon tattoo, like fucking this kind of like weird girl, right? And so... and Jonah Hill, really funny. Meryl Streep, also very funny. But more than anything, I think the fact... The end of the film, without giving anything away, the way it's handled, the way it's executed, the music they play over it, it actually made me think, holy... I don't know how I felt, but I'm like, I love this film. I was like, that moment, I love this film because it,
Rank 2.5 stars for me. This film was as subtle as a sledgehammer to the face.
Yeah, but it was still a good time. It was
It was too long.
Tyler Perry was
so
fun.
Long.
Really? I loved
the whole fucking Ariana Grande song in the middle of
it. Dude,
get rid of that shit.
She improvised that whole song.
Yeah,
Adam McKay talked about it and you didn't like it. Okay,
no. Well, I didn't not like it. I got what I was going for and I'm fine with it. That's all I am. I'm fine with it.
Okay. No, I understand. Not everyone's cup of joe, but I, for some reason, it resonated heavily with me. I've been recommending it to everyone. Okay. All my friends.
All right. There you go. And all the interstitial shots of fucking people and ants and plant animals and fucking, I'm like, get rid of that shit. Fuck, that's so Adam McKay.
Okay.
Random and bullshit.
See, this thing, I love Adam McKay, man. The Big Short, all that shit, man. For some reason, he's one of those.
Speaks to you.
I don't know. It's something about I agree. Yeah, yeah. So anyway, there you are.
The number four then, listener, moving on, film of the year is one which got very close to my list, but you hadn't even seen the damn thing because you gave me all kinds of sideways looks when I mentioned the top 10 movie scenes 2021 episode. It's The Mitchells versus the Machines.
Last night I did a bit of research.
Mm-hmm.
And saw a trailer for this film.
Right.
And almost watched it just because... Mitchell, this is high, motherfucker. This must be fucking gangster.
This was leading for a long, long time. Like, all the early people who voted had this on the list. So, score of 52 with 8 people it made it onto the list out of 22. Mitchell vs. Machines is a very good film. I really enjoyed it. It's probably in my 12, 13 spot, somewhere around there.
So it's about a family?
It's about a family fight against the robot apocalypse. Uprising.
Animated film, everyone. Done by Lord and Miller.
Yep. Written by them, but written also... produced by the same sort of studio that did Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
That's why I wanted to see it. That's why I thought, maybe I'll check this out.
Very
so still
different.
Made.
And yeah, I tried to tell you about it, but you just wouldn't buy into it.
No, it looks... After seeing the trailer, I kind of get it. Like, I just wasn't in the mood for an animated film, like I often am not. But yeah, I think I'll probably check this out.
So number four.
Number four.
Mitchell's vs. Machine for the listeners. Oh, sorry, I forgot. I skipped over my number five. My number five was Boss Level.
Oh, your number five was Boss Level.
Yep.
Got it.
That's
cool.
Where it fell for me.
Nice one.
All right.
So, we're back to their four or my four?
Your four.
My four is Last Night in Soho.
Yeah, it didn't make my list.
Didn't make your list. Edgar Wright.
My honorable
Paul's
mentions.
Favorite director movie did not make his list. And
didn't
I
make
think
list
they,
in the list either. Top 10 anyway. It didn't
I think this is a very specific one. And in fact, it's one of those movies I think, because we, by the way, listeners, when we saw this, me, Paul, and two other bros went and saw it. We had a mandate. Mm-hmm. Okay? We went out, we had dinner, watched the movie, all very cool. I loved the night. I think it may have helped the movie a little bit. But what I really loved about this film is that, oh, by the way, it's about...
it's about a mandate.
It's about a mandate, no. It's about a rising fashion student played by Thomasin McKenzie, who was a revelation, although I know she was in Old. Right?
She was, more importantly, in Jojo Rabbit.
Was she?
Yes.
Can't remember.
I said that during our review of it as well, and you were also shocked.
I was, yeah, I don't even remember the movie barely. But yes.
We did it on the show.
Again, what's your point? So not only does she talk a bit to dead people, i.e.
cock juggling, thundercock.
That's too loud. That's too loud.
It was too loud, sorry.
Anyway, so she, yeah, apart from that, she can see her dead mother and stuff. And when she goes to sleep at night after moving to London to go to this fashion school, when she goes to sleep, she transports into the 60s. And sees slash is the Anya Taylor-Joy character, who is a singer who gets pimped out by Doctor Who, and then like ends up being a prosser against
her
will.
Words that should never be uttered.
Yeah, you're right. And it is. I thought for the first half, first scene almost of the movie, I thought it was set in the 60s, but it wasn't, because it's got a very 60s patina about it, and it's done
on the music's all, because that's her fascination, that's her interest.
Exactly, yeah. Which is amazing to me, but. I mean, we've talked ad nauseum about the scenes where, you know, they interact between the two characters becoming each other and popping up in the scene on a dance floor and things like that. I just thought it was beautiful, but it was beautiful in an ugly way. It was beautiful in a dank London way. And that's what the movie really does. It also has horror elements we've talked about, yeah. But it's not a horror.
Yep.
And that's about as much as I can take of horror in a film. But I just loved it, man. It was... creepy and that sort of thing, but
I'm
in a way that
you like it
good.
So much.
I absolutely did. Actually, I'm shocked that you don't like it so much.
Look, Edgar Wright's worst film. I think this is. I think I would even rather watch The World's End again than this.
Really?
Which
I felt like he. Yeah, I mean,
it's the least Edgar Wright film of all Edgar Wright films, as far as I'm concerned.
See, I can feel like he loved the fucking material, and that's why I liked it. So you know, anyway, there you are. Last Night in Soho, my number four.
Artists develop. It's not always going to stick with what you love.
Hardly ever, in fact.
Exactly. So I'm keen, still very keen to see his next film. I still think it's not a bad movie. This was like my number 12 on my list. It was equally number 12 on the listeners' list. So didn't quite get there for them.
I don't think he'll ever become your Guy Ritchie for me, because I'm Guy Ritchie. His stuff is some of the best shit I've ever seen and some of the worst shit I've ever seen.
No, I haven't seen a bad Edgar Wright film.
Yeah.
And this is not a bad Edgar Wright film.
It's not.
It was just a little disappointing for me, given how much I wanted it to love it.
Yeah. Expectations kill you, man.
Yep, they do. All right, so my number four, here's where I had The Father.
The Father, wow.
That's how good this film is.
That's and high up,
you have to. You have to see this
film. I do.
You have to watch it.
You're right, I just have to do it.
The listeners who have seen it, and I concur.
Nice.
Number three for the listeners then, Nobody.
Ooh, really?
Score of 57 on 11 lists. Half of this had this film somewhere in there.
Not on mine. Nah. Yeah, Nobody is. It's fine, but it was a sort of a poor man's John Wick, I thought. It was fine. It didn't deserve to get on the top 10 list, I didn't think. But clearly it's on Paul's list.
Boy, really? Oh boy.
You know what it was? You know what it was? Okay, here. Bob Odenkirk, right? Love the guy. Love his work. Big fan of How I Met Your Mother, where he did a few cameos.
Shang-Chi is so much better than Nobody that we didn't even factor on Wayne's
list. Yeah. Absolutely. No
fucking
question.
Shocking.
No question. Because this one here, right? For all of the fighting and stuff, it wasn't as exciting as John Wick. And I know he worked out for it and everything. It wasn't that impressive. The cool thing about it was that he got beat up.
The whole thing about this film is he's not meant to be as slick as John
Wick.
No,
he's not, but it wasn't as spectacular.
It's like John Wick's uncle. I think I read that somewhere.
That's not bad. Because it's the same people, yeah?
Yeah, same writer.
Yeah, so I guess...
Jerry Colstead, I think his name is.
I mean, yeah, like I don't think it was trying... It's similar, but I don't think it was actually trying to be John Wick. I'm not accusing it of that, but yeah, it just didn't hang around for me the way John Wick did. Well, John Wick 1 and 3.
1 and 3, so yeah. Ignoring number 2, which is also an excellent film.
Really?
Maybe not as good as 1 and 3.
Okay, all right.
Okay, shock horror, Wayne.
No, I'm yeah, okay, obviously it's on yours though.
Yeah, okay, so I've got... one film that's in your top three. That's all I can think of off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if this is it.
Okay, here we go. My number three, it's not going to be here because you fucking hated this. No Time to Die.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
Okay.
Jeez, what's your one and two?
Yeah, it's a surprise.
Oh, no, one of them I got. Yeah.
Okay, so No Time to Die. What if James Bond didn't want to be James Bond anymore? Or he wanted to be more than James Bond? And this film itself is Daniel Craig's swan song. Paul thought it was way too long and had pitchy pacing.
God, is it too long?
When I saw it, I thought it was too short. I could have... I'm not kidding. I wanted a bit more Bond, okay? And this is the... all of the cool bits that... Cary Fukunaga does this thing, right? The cool shit about Bond is still there.
I think I'd rather eat some piss.
Yeah, suck a dick, right? But some of the most dynamic fucking in-camera action sequences, the fucking motorcycle jump, that was the shit.
That was amazing.
The fucking whole car turning and the analog controls on his Aston Martin and he's killing motherfuckers, that's cool shit as well. All the way through the film, I'm like, this is edge of your seat shit.
No.
I didn't get any bored bits.
Absolutely not. Clearly, there are some fantastic sequences in the film. I totally 100% agree with you. And is it worthy of plays and listeners? Sure, maybe, if you're really into Bond like you are. But this film, to use your term, is very pitchy. It's very fast paced, slow down, nothing happens, fucking nothing happens. More boring, talk.
You know, I think Bond tends to do that. Because he
maybe that's why I don't like Bond films that much.
No, that's what it is. Even Casino Royale, I said this in the movie, like, it's actually the last act is kind of boring. It takes quite a long time.
Because the characters are built up so well. And Mads Mikkelsen, I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Villain in that film is so good.
But he's dead by then.
Well, okay, yeah. So he's gone.
So it's like,
even then, I still think the set piece sets it off at the end.
Agreed. No, look, this film, saw the shit. Yeah.
Rami Malek is terrible. I cannot believe you've got a film where the villain is so bad at number three.
I think I agree he's the worst thing about the film, but it didn't spoil it at all for me. Like, I sat there thinking, like, this is the Bond film that kind of, it succeeds not on grit and realism necessarily, but more on movie manipulation. Like, it's kind of, it reveals all the previous films to be basically a big soap opera, but I'm not, that's not a criticism.
That's my biggest thing that I liked about these films. These five films, I'm saying that's all a good linked thing.
It's all linked.
We decided to keep things mattering. It's not like a Simpsons episode where everything just resets at the end of it.
Yeah. And that's why this is the one Bond that's sort of a tearjerker for me, right?
Yep.
And that itself is a fitting way to develop this character in a way that has never been there before. They've never done this with a Bond before. So that's my shit. See? So I'm amazed and really looking forward to what they're going to do next. I'm guessing an entire...
It's hard to be amazed. We don't know what's going to happen at all.
Sorry, I'm amazed by this and looking forward to... Yeah, so... but I love this shit. Really well handled. Glad Danny Boyle didn't actually bailed out.
Right. Yeah, because Gary Fukunawa...
Fukunawa, yeah.
Yep, direct this. My number three. Everything's been spoiled in my bits. Quiet Place Part 2. Here's where it fell for me.
Yeah, that actually is about right. That's where I would think you'd put it. So fair enough. Nice.
Love
one.
It. Own it again on 4K and we'll rewatch it. Along with the first one as a great three-hour double feature. Imagine that. Two films in 3 hours and yet so satisfying. Take note, Hollywood. Fuck's sake.
You know, I'm really wondering what your one is now. And two, in fact. All right.
Well, the number two for the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mentioned Nobody.
Yep.
57 score, 11 lists. Daylight to number two.
Okay.
June, 101 score
on
15 of 22 lists. That's astounding.
Yeah, that's everyone liked this thing but me.
Just there about. Just.
Yeah. Everyone got out to the cinema, maybe.
All right, Wayne, what's your number two?
My number two, Spider-Man, bro.
That's your two?
No Way Home.
Ooh.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so, I mean, I think we already talked about Spider-Man.
Yeah, we have covered it.
But, yeah, I love that shit.
All right. My number two, Nobody.
Didn't shit, that's high.
Even make your list,
fuck,
Wayne.
Fuck, that's high, man. It's high, motherfucker.
Oh.
High as shit. All right.
When you're like saying, didn't even make my, I'm like,
what have I done to deserve this bullshit? Oh, see, it's perfectly fine to me.
Well, listeners, in that case, at least agree with moi. All right, here we are then. Number ones. The list of number one has been mentioned by both of us, so it did fall on all three of our lists. Spider-Man, No Way Home, with a score of 106 off 13 lists. So
I imagine so.
Didn't make as many lists, but overall was higher up. I guess that's what you can basically conclude from there. And it literally did come down to the last list to determine. So thank you to the 22 people who wrote in. We really, truly appreciate it.
Thank you for the color. Very nice.
We're going to go through like 10 or 11 reviews of people of their number one only in the pop 10.
Sure.
All right, Wayne, give us a recap then. Your 10 through 2 and then reveal your number one film of 2021.
Alrighty, Roo. Number 10 is Free Guy. 9, Boss Level. What up? 8, The Suicide Squad. 7, Shang-Chi and What's Up. 6,
Shang-Chi and What's Up.
And The Legend of the Ten Rings. And number 6 is A Quiet Place Part 2. Number 5, Don't Look Up. Number 4, Last Night in Soho. 3 was No Time to Die. 2 was Spider-Man No Way Home. And my number 1, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Is the one-man show in and of itself, which I spoke about once in one of our shows.
Oh, is this the magic thing?
Yes. This is, everyone, in and of itself. This is very weird, but it's the most...
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
No. This is one of the most moving things I saw last year, okay? And it was very... It's like Jan 22, 2021.
Did you top 10 last 10, did it?
I cried 3 times during this damn thing. It's basically this guy named Derek Delgado. He's doing a one-man show. Seems like an off-Broadway performance in
one
New York.
One was when he jerked off. One was when he ran out of weed. And one was realized Uber Eats had closed for the night.
Right. In not that order. But yes, it's a dude's one-man show, okay? And what he does is he takes the audience through the series of monologues and interactive dialogues live on stage while also using close-up magic to make his point. The shit he manages to do in the film is already, like, David Copperfield styles, like, how the fuck did he do that shit? I don't know how he was able to do it, and it's amazing because it involves all of the audience.
And different shows on different nights, shows, right?
And there's people like Bill Gates in the fucking audience and stuff like that. So clearly this was very popular in its time, all right? And it's like nothing I've ever seen before. If you were to attend that performance, perfect date show, perfect date thing. If you actually and someone you were just kind of hanging out with.
Well, aren't you the proponent of don't take your date to somewhere they're going to cry?
Yeah.
Because then you won't get laid?
You're right. Okay, maybe like a 20th date. You can have a 20th date with this person.
But only after you've screwed on date 19, says Wayne.
Well, fuck off. What I'm saying is this does a good job of making use of the film format as the movie of a stage show. And because it shows reactions across different nights, you get a better experience than if you just turned up. Although if you turned up, you'd shit your pants. Because the things he manages to do are insane.
Okay.
Yeah. I've never seen anything like it. Can't so comment. You really got to check it out, man. Now you'll hate it because I told you it was this shit. So don't even worry. You don't watch it, but everyone else out there, you watch it, right?
I don't have to watch it because my homework's been revoked. All right, that's Wayne's number one, in and of itself.
That's right.
That's what it's called. Okay.
Let's hear your number one, Paul. Ten to one.
My 10 through 2, and then revealing my number one. My 10, One Shot. 9, Spider-Man, Colin, No Way Home. 8, June. 7, Riders Justice. 6, The Alpinist. 5, Boss Level. 4, The Father. 3, A Quiet Place. Part 2, Nobody. And my number one, with a bullet, and very, very obviously, if you've paid attention at all, The Suicide Squad.
Wow, number one, bro. Yeah,
the
number
only
one.
4.5 star film I gave this year. The only film to crack my top 50 films of my lifetime.
Okay, so it was made for you. I get it.
Yep. I don't need to talk about it anymore. And please go back. Any one of these films where we do have, and several of them we do have.
Reviews for.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of my top 10 we have full reviews for.
Cool. Yeah, definitely.
Check them out if you want to talk. Listen to us talk about it in more detail and then laugh at us when our scores then don't match up to where they are.
It doesn't matter. Everything's relative. Only matters to Paul.
Just run through, Wayne, without going into detail, your honorable mentions.
Sure. Yeah. This is going to piss off a few people. Many States of Newark, I fucking liked. God, that's on my HMs. That's right. You know what else? The Hitman's Wife.
Whoa. In fact, both of those deserve the same fucking reaction.
Fuck off. Yes, The Hitman's Wife Bodyguard, also on my honorable mention. That's right, Liz.
That's like, ridiculous,
that's
man.
I saw it again the other night. This is still funny as shit.
Like, you know, we were holding some semblance of fucking respect with people right up till that moment.
No one liked this shit. I liked it. But then again, that is how my life goes, Paul. The Dry, I liked that. It was an Aussie film. Yeah, it was bad. And you know what? Gunpowder Milkshake had a good time.
That's all right, too. Yeah, dig it. My own is, well, you know, if I've had a go at you for... For the Hitman's Wife Bodyguard, Cruella was very close to my list.
You really did like that show. It's very intriguing.
And my daughter loved it. It was her favorite film for a while. Mitchell vs. Machine. Mm-hmm. Last Night in Soho, I guess my 13. A small horror film called Vicious Fun. Very, very good. And rounding out my top 15 would be a film which is on some independent podcasts' list, Psycho Gorman.
What is this?
It was very high up on my... I think my number one, my top 10 last time we did do it through the course of the year.
Horror film, I guess?
Yeah, it's more a...
Thriller?
It's more a comedy.
Okay.
With sci-fi, like there's gore in it. It basically follows this really, really asshole-ish, I guess she's what, 10, 11, 12-year-old girl who comes into possession of this medallion / amulet which controls this outer space alien thing that then she makes it do her bidding, including like eventually she gets pissed off, kill people.
Okay. Sounds up your alley.
Meanwhile, the aliens that have this thing escaped from their prison are coming to Earth to get it back and will kill anyone in their path.
Bloody. Yeah, this is your jam. Already, I'm thinking, of course it's on your list.
Not
well,
for you.
Not on your list.
Don't recommend Wayne for you. But what about your list then? So we've heard what you think overall. Thank you so much, everyone who got back to us with that. But we're going to hear some specific reviews about the number one films only of the year from people on the other side of this queue, which is called the Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Talk about
Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with Jamie Davies, who gave his number one, Spider-Man No Way Home. This is his review. The best experience I've had in a cinema ever.
Ooh.
And I did not have the quibbles that you guys did about the ending.
I get it. Again, if you got the reveal, you got the reveal, baby.
Fair enough. B Dizzle, Billy Dunham from the We Watch the Thing podcast. Do check his great show out. Promising Young Woman was his number one.
I didn't hear this.
Promising Young Woman is easily the best movie of not only last year, but the last two. It's smart, dark, hilarious, and poignant all at the same time.
Good film. Definitely brilliant. Good film.
David Powell, top level page of the show, and Facebook moderator said, Bo Burnham: Inside. possibly the most astonishing piece of creative work by a single person I've ever seen. Clever, raw, moving, and absolutely hilarious. And the music is fantastic, too.
Wait till you see In and of Itself, bruh.
Ooh, there you go, David. The challenge has been set. Kristen Acaro said, number one, Spider-Man, colon, No Way Home. 19 years and three generations of web-slinging nostalgia wrapped up in 2.5 hours, of easy watching. I am content.
Damn right. The shit.
Mike Margosian had also a review for Bo Burnham Inside, just a masterpiece of a one-man show and sums up lockdown / quarantine of 2021.
I agree. If lockdown was bad for you, you'd like it more.
Okay. Blake Jarvis said, number one, Don't Look Up.
Word.
Some may hate this, but after the last 2 years, it feels like an accurate representation of humanity's madness.
Totally.
Lachlan Mills, number one, June. It was a masterpiece of modern filmmaking, shying away from CGI where possible, yet still managing to tell an epic story from the shape of the galaxies right down to the trees that survive in the desert. Love it.
Well, yeah, like I said, you know how it is, right?
And I did make it clear this is its number one review.
Yeah, just number ones. They're number ones, yep.
It's Jan Fidlion Savai. I got the first part right.
It's great.
Number one, Come On, Come On. Had three incredible performances, a phenomenal vibe that captured iconic American cities like I've never seen them before, and it left me emotionally devastated, but also replenished.
You know, this Etienne's an arty man. He's an arty man. I just checked this one out. Black and white film.
Yes.
Black and white film. So there you are.
Indeed. Christopher Sillett, just to be clear. Number one, Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Yeah, I thought about throwing that in.
While far from perfect, when I watched this movie, it made me so happy, and it shits all over the trash that was the original theatric release.
Agree, it was far better, definitely.
And finally, from Kia Crow, who didn't give us a whole 10, but gave top three. And number one, No Time to Die.
Love her!
Until proven otherwise, Daniel Craig is my Bond.
Damn right. Wayne may have
to fight you for that, Kristen.
That's right.
Kia. The vulnerability of this character throughout the entire series has been so engrossing. I shed tears at the end and was on the edge of my seat for all the action. Loved it.
Awesome! See, that's the bomb right there. Paul, just look, just think it over, man.
You can't handle the truth.
I don't believe you can.
And taking a pick as to who that was aimed at. All right, that is it for our top 10 films of 2021 episode. What an episode that was. And I hope, if we've missed something you think is amazing, let us know via email.
Throw it down, man. Throw it down.
At thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc. I'll just do this a bit, Wayne.
Do it.
You can join the Facebook community, mentioned many times, links in the show notes, and like and follow the show through Podbean, where we host.
Beautiful.
All right then, Wayne, what's happening next week for episode 356 of The Countdown?
This is always a fun show. We are doing the most anticipated films of 2022. What are we looking forward to next year?
We can, given that who knows what's going to happen with release dates and whatever, as they stand.
We can still talk about how we think it might be cool.
Yeah.
And then get dashed with our hopes when it finally comes out. But that's cool too.
Yep. I wonder if anyone goes back and listens to our most anticipated and hears like laughing.
Can't imagine anyone does.
That was so wrong about that one. Yeah. That's what's happening next week for the show. Thank you so much again for joining us today for the top 10 films of 2021. We really appreciate it. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard. Films that we've mentioned today.
Why do you do that?
We'll catch you next week.
See ya.